And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
The NHL is back, and the NHL trade deadline is now just 8 short days away. Hello and welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 18 Mailbag Edition, Part 2. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, Nicky. Happy Thursday to all the boys out there. It was very, very nice to have NHL hockey back. That two-day gap between the Olympics and the NHL, a little too long for me. I'm sure the same for a lot of people out there. Nice to sit back and watch a few games last night.
And the Oilers still can't get a save. Surprise, surprise. I wanted to mention off the top, we're dedicating today's podcast to the life and times of Jim Boomer Gordon of NHL Network Radio, who lost his courageous battle with cancer earlier this week. Even before we started the podcast, Jake, as you know, I worked there for nearly a decade. We had just so many stories to tell. Big fantasy hockey fan as well was Boomer.
Just a big hockey fan in general. Like you said, Nick, a very big supporter of fantasy hockey. One of the first guys that really had a dedicated fantasy show out there, going back to his days with Rob Higgins. I know you remember that back in the early days of SiriusXM. So it's been a rough week for me. It's been a rough week for the whole crew over there. I lost a very good friend. We did a two-hour tribute to him on Wednesday. So if anybody wants to go check that out and get some memories about the guy. But we lost a great member of the hockey media. Meaney, I know you and Pete as well. I spent a lot of time going on his show, so I'm sure everybody's got a funny story or a funny memory, and I'm happy that we could dedicate this show to him.
I just, you know, I thought the tribute was fantastic, Jake, what you did, and, you know, certainly so well deserved. I thought he was just an unbelievable guy and a great host. You know, you can tell listening to him, he was so passionate about the game of hockey, and he did a fantastic job, and it certainly showed, Pete. I mean, he was terrific and will certainly be missed.
And he got very close, I feel, to a lot of his guests. I think he continued the conversation even after the segments. He asked about their personal life. One of the only people out there that would occasionally ask about my kids or, you know, text me when something big happened about Penn State, good or bad. You know, I know he was a Nebraska Cornhuskers fan. He followed all the different sports. He used to text Lieboff about darts. You know, he was not just a hockey guy. He was very passionate about his friends and family and colleagues and especially guys like you, Nick and Jake.
Yeah, good thing there was unlimited texting in this country because Boomer loved to get after it via text. So again, we're dedicating this show to him. He's a big Pittsburgh Penguins fan, and we'll start there, Jake. Sidney Crosby, the ripple effect of the Olympics and the wear and tear of the Olympics, a couple of monster injuries. We touched on it briefly the other day, but now we got severity news and, you know, how long these guys are going to miss. But Crosby's going to be at least 4 weeks, they're saying, lower body injury. Would you go anywhere near like a Tommy Novak, like other guys I would look at externally? Jared McCann, Matt Duchene had himself a good return back from the Olympics, and Charlie Coyle.
Honestly, there's something about this Penguins roster this year, guys, where I'm not jumping off the ship just yet. I know the Sid injury news is a really tough blow, and Meaney, I was hoping and maybe expecting it to be a little less than this because of his chances of playing in the gold medal game. Now we realize this guy's just a warrior, and that gold medal game meant so much to him that he was willing to possibly play through an injury like this, and now he's going to be out a month. So we know it's a tough blow to the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I'm not giving up on this team. They've dealt with a lot of injuries this year. Now, Sid is a bit of a different level compared to some of the others, but I'd look to a bunch of guys to step up in this lineup. I think Malkin's value goes up. He's proven that he can step up. You know, Nick mentions a guy like Novak as well. It just feels like they got a little magic in this roster, Mean. So I'm not giving up on this team. I think we can still mine some fantasy value even with Sid out of the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been a juggernaut on offense. So Novak is a really nice shout, right? He's going to get a boost in ice time. And, you know, if he does play with Raquel or with Russ, those are going to be two pretty good line mates for him. Chinnikov's a guy that we've talked about a lot in this show since the Penguins acquired him. He has points in 7 of his past 8 playing alongside Malkin, right? He's still a young player in the NHL. He's got a lot of skill. And I like the buy low, I thought, from Dubas. Nick, Dubas has made some nice trades over the past couple years with this Penguins team, getting Samuel Girard. I know he didn't really fit in with the Avs, but, you know, he's playing on the bottom pair. All of a sudden now you expect him maybe to be in the top four, maybe playing alongside Letang if that's his partner. So he's got a bit of offensive upside to his game as well, but Chinnikov's ownership is just 8%, guys. Like, that is an immediate pickup for me if he's hanging around the waiver wire.
I would say Kyle Dubas has had himself a really excellent year. If you guys recall back in the summer, in August, into September, we were talking about Pittsburgh being just awful and Gavin McKenna being on the radar and what's going to happen with Sidney Crosby. I would say they're going to buy. And perfect time to add that Dave Pignota, the fourth period NHL Network, NHL Network Radio is going to drop by here in about 10 minutes' time. And a lot of fantasy deadlines this time of year too, so we'll touch on that, but we'll touch on sort of the real deadline and some of the bigger names that could be on the move that could affect your fantasy roster. So think about that moving forward. Back into the mailbag we go, because I agree here with the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Dallas Stars, I would say, Jake, in a different sort of scenario right now. They're going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, but Mikko Rantanen, it's a difficult injury, man. Out minimum of 2 weeks, or saying, lower body injury. Maverick Bork now back in the top six. Other guys I would look at, Duchesne, Jordan Kyrou, Jonathan Marchessault. So there's going to be some options on the right wing for sure.
You've got some guys in Dallas, and I know, Mina, you could speak to this as well, where it feels like whenever they get top line assignments, it's tough for them to really put the big points up there, right? Nick mentions Maverick Bork. Sam Steele is another guy that tends to get these line assignments from time to time, but fantasy-wise, are the numbers really there? So maybe an opportunity for a couple of those guys. I think more of a deep league play, and you're looking at some of the big names to step up. I think Duchesne is the one that realistically maybe you could go out there and get. And even going back to Pittsburgh, guys, I wanted to throw this name out there. Avery Hayes, a guy that came up from the AHL and had that immediate success. Again, probably a deep league play, but I liked what I saw from him at the NHL level in a very small sample size. So I think you could look at line combos. A lot of these teams with big name players, Meany, out of the lineup coming out of the Olympic breaks, I think it opens up an opportunity for some of these guys. But I feel like we've tried the Sam Steele game before. It doesn't really tend to work out for fantasy hockey.
No, he's a, you know, underrated real life player, but from a fantasy standpoint, really tough. But man, there's times I've seen him play with Wyatt Johnson and Mikko Rantanen late in the third when they're like tied or down a goal. But Duchesne is also another really good shout, man. He's quietly on a run. He's got 11 points over a 7-game point streak. He has 7 goals over that span, up on the first power play last night, taking Mikko Rantanen's spot. Maverick Bork in a deep league as well. And you know, one guy that Nick, you and I talked about before we got on here, Jonathan Marchessault. I'm sure his name may come up a little bit later on in the show, but his ownership is sub 20%. All of a sudden he's got points in 6 of his past 8, 3 plus shots in 6 of those games as well. And I'm seeing today he's on the second line with Philip Forsberg. So the Preds have been competitive over the last 2 months. It's another team that I thought would be kind of near the basement in terms of the standings, but their top six has been really good lately. Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly as well.
Again, the timing of Barry Trotz stepping down is weird to me, because how do you attack this trade deadline if you're the Nashville Predators? Like, I don't foresee a scenario where O'Reilly or Stamkos or Saros or Yossi like are dealt. Maybe Jonathan Marchessault is that guy, and I think he can bring some supreme value not only to fantasy owners but a real life team as well. Back to the mailbag we go. A lot of people wondering what to do now on the blue line with Josh Morrissey banged up. And again, this is the worst time of year. Fantasy playoffs just a couple weeks away, and Morrissey, he tried his best to get back in there for Canada, but tells you something that he couldn't. Upper body injury. Logan Stanley, clearly a showcase here, Jake, was on PP1 last night. He's a pending UFA. I think a lot of teams are going to be after this guy prior to the March 6th trade deadline. But is there anywhere else you would look to find somebody who can do anything right now blue line-wise in fantasy hockey?
Well, yeah, Logan Stanley all of a sudden has turned into an offensive defenseman yeah. this year. I don't know where that came from, but you know, they certainly like it, and maybe makes him an
contract year.
Piece. Contract year, that's right, one of your favorite terms. And look, we do see guys tend to step up. I will shout out the boys as well earlier this week, mentioning the Russian player angle. It's only one night of NHL action, but man, Kucherov looked fresh.
Pretty good.
He looked fresh. Vasilevsky looked very fresh. I know he let in a couple goals late, but I thought we were heading for a Vasilevsky shutout. He looked really comfortable. So again, I think that's an angle that we can continue to attack here, guys. And Meany, we did get some mailbag questions too about Charlie Coyle, Columbus Blue Jackets. Can they keep the production going here out of the break? Are they a team that we're still going to be targeting? I say yes. I love what Werenski's done this year. I would make him the Norris Trophy favorite, at least at the moment. So I'm going to continue to attack the Columbus Blue Jackets here in a lot of different areas, whether it's fantasy or the betting space. I'm not too worried about the two-week break slowing this team down. I think they're going to keep it going out of the break.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And for Charlie Coyle, he's getting a lot of ice time. Rick Bonus is giving him an opportunity to play in key situations, playing on the first power play. So if you're in a league with faceoffs, you know, he can help you in that department as well. Mason Marchment is still up on that top line with Fantilli and Kirill Marchenko, and he's widely available. He's plus money today for a point, so like you can piggyback off playing with two good players. And back to your question about finding defensemen, I'll just shout Sam Rinzell again. Like, guys,
your
like,
boy.
I mean, why not? The usage rate is there, 22, 20, 25 minutes in the three games since he's been recalled. He's at the goal. He's on the first power play. Lefchenov's kind of the odd man out right now. Rinzell's getting that opportunity. Nine shots, three plus in each of those three games. And a question here, maybe direct this one to Pete, big Jack Quinn guy. I saw a question, Jack Quinn or Jimmy Snuggerud. I don't know if this is in a keeper league or a deeper format, dynasty format, but it's hard for me not to say Quinn. Given what we've seen from the Sabres, only scored two goals last night, but another big win from them.
Oh, I mean, Jack Quinn has to be one of the most consistent, underrated, even strength players, you know, in terms of secondary scorers in the entire league this year. He's taken a big jump. The Sabres are the real deal. They go into, you know, the Rock, they're honoring Jack Hughes and all that stuff. That's a tough night to win that particular game, and they did that on the road. They've been good at home, good on the road. Keeping it going after the Olympic break is a tough thing to do with the momentum, but they did it last night.
Nick, what about the LA Kings? What'd you see in the Panarin debut on Wednesday? Obviously, it didn't go their way in terms of the result, and it was a kind of a ridiculous game in the third period, back and forth. But we get some mailbag questions about whose value are we liking. Obviously, we know what Panarin brings. Does it give a boost to a guy like Alex Laferriere, anybody else in this lineup? Again, it's only one game, but the offense was at least clicking for the Kings on Wednesday.
I guess. I mean, they played an AHL team and still lost. I thought that was so embarrassing for LA, and kudos to Vegas. And it's an unpopular opinion, but I still can't believe we're sitting here on February 26th and one team's made a coaching change and they've been on fire. They've lost like what, one game? Like Rick Bowness coming out of retirement with Columbus. You think more teams would catch on? Like it just seems to be a theme in this league, coaching changes and the new coach bump. And every team seems to be concerned or worried about doing it. And I understand you got to pay somebody not to be there, but they've done it time and time before. What I'm getting at is I can't believe Jim Hiller is still head coach of the LA Kings. I'm taking nothing away from Hiller. I think this team was in dire need of a fresh face or a new tune behind that bench. And there's a lot of pretty good names out there. They haven't done that. So to the grander point, you're not winning much with Alex Laferriere as your 1C. I'm sorry. Like, this is the final year for Andrei Kopitar. We'll have Pagnotta coming up in mere moments here, means, but I would not be shocked if they start to sniff around heavily on a guy in Vancouver, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, I think they need to do something else. I mean, obviously losing Kevin Fiala, right? They get Panarin, they lose Fiala. It's just like, oh my goodness, right? You go and get a guy like that, and then you lose a top goal scorer. But they juggled their lines last night. But yeah, for the most part, Panarin did play with Laferriere and Kempe. I know Laferriere was held off the score sheet, but that's a big role for him, whether he sticks or not. I agree with you. They probably need something down the middle of the ice. I could see a situation where Kopitar gets that spot, but right now Laferriere is there. Panarin had the two assists, Jake, and you know, Quentin Byfield had two goals as well. So that's a guy that we've talked about, a very slow start, really good young player. He showed us before that he could be a good young player in the NHL for the Kings. So maybe he's a guy that you could buy, and you know, maybe it's just power play time for him that we see the production from.
And I think they need something on defense, too. Remember, they had Gavrikov. He's with the Rangers now. They lost a lot with him in terms of all-around play. And Doughty's old. We saw it at the Olympics, mm-hmm. right? We all love the player from his heyday. He's just not the same player that he used to be. So if they're hoping to, you know, make the playoffs even, might be a tough task. They may need a coaching change. Pete DeBoer is still out there, and maybe some help on defense.
Nick, you were right, though, about that being an embarrassing loss overall for the Kings. The Vegas was basically handing them that yeah. win on a silver platter. They're like, all our guys, some of them are, they're with like Scott Van Pelt at ESPN. They're still doing the whole tour for this American gold medal. And then the Canadian players didn't even play either. So I thought, man, they're really just gifting this one to the Kings, saying, here's a free 2 points. They didn't go out there and take it. But I did like to see Panarin getting involved again. It's only his first game. I do think offensively, this team is going to get a boost. But Pete's right as well. You know, what can they do defensively. I still don't like where this team is at long term, and I'm also with you on Jim Hiller behind the bench. I think they've waited too long. That might end up having to be an offseason move now for the Kings.
Exactly it, and that's why they play the games, and I think LA's cooked even if they make it. I just don't know how you recover from the Fiala injury, but I was driving at is I think Elias Pettersson would make a lot of sense. Like, they got some cap room. I know they spent quite a bit on Panarin, but I mean, if you can try to find a way to bring in a top six center like the rest of the league, that's the theme right now, guys, is everybody is in the mix for three or four or five of these centers right now, right? Means?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? I mean, everybody needs a center. Everyone needs a second-line center, but the Kings are certainly one of those teams that we've discussed all year long, and the Minnesota Wild is another one, right? They were aggressive in the Kaprizov contract. They're certainly aggressive getting Quinn Hughes. They've been arguably the best team in the NHL since they acquired him, certainly number one in the Western Conference when it comes to points. They get a big one tonight in Colorado.
Luckily, on today's podcast, we have somebody with answers. And every year we do this podcast, we get you set for the NHL trade deadline 8 days away as we bring in Dave Pagnotta, who was just fresh off a trip with yours truly to Jamaica and also getting set for this deadline of NHL Network, NHL Network Radio, and the fourth period. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Gearing up for a busy week ahead, that's for sure.
I want to start with the Los Angeles Kings. That was an embarrassment Thursday. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. But what are the chances they look and try to acquire a top six center? I'm trying to link them to Vancouver. Is there any chance Elias Pettersson goes to L.A.?
There's a chance, sure, Nick. I mean, there's interest. There's interest from other teams. I just don't know how much of an appetite Vancouver has to move him in division. That's really what it comes down to. I think they can put the pieces together. It's just, do you want to see Petey, if he rejuvenates himself and gets back to a point-a-game-plus player more regularly than sending him to a different division or sending him out east? But LA is definitely looking for another forward to add to the mix. Even before Kevin Fiala was knocked out for the rest of the season in the Olympics, the Kings, Ken Holland, their GM, was looking for another offensive forward to add to the group. Yes, they brought in Panarin, and yeah, Panarin had a good debut with the Kings. The team overall clearly didn't. Things fell apart in that third period, but they want to bring in somebody that can help supply more offense, that can be a puck possessor, and help, you know, some of the other teammates put the puck in the back of the net. So I would expect over this next week and a bit for the Kings to make that type of addition. They have the cap space to do it, and they definitely have the will. They want to make the playoffs.
Dave, it feels like there's two very clear favorites in the Eastern Conference right now, then a bit of a gap, and then some pretty solid teams after that, but it's Carolina and Tampa at the top. We know they're going to try to make some sort of moves to add if they can, and they have the pieces to do so. I'm curious about the rest of the teams. Do you see a Montreal, a Buffalo, one of these other teams, a Detroit, maybe getting aggressive and trying to get themselves on that tier or closer to the tier of Carolina, Tampa? Which of those teams do you think might get aggressive here over the next week?
So the Montreal Canadiens are situationally buying. If the right opportunity presents itself and they can bring in somebody who fits their plan, that doesn't deviate from their plan, also from a cost perspective, they're gonna try to do that. If they can find somebody to play with Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield on that top line, Jake, they would love to be able to pull that off. But that player has to fit the mold of that group moving forward. This isn't just a one-off. Unless, look, something falls into their lap, obviously different story. But in terms of what they're actually trying to accomplish there, they want to find somebody long-term that fits on that top line. They love their second line. Savkovsky, Kapanen, and Demidov. They love what they've been able to produce this season. It's that top line. Finding somebody with Caulfield and Suzuki seems to be a priority. That's also why they're trying to trade Patrick Laine. He's got an $8.7 million cap hit. I think they're willing to retain on that, even if they eat half of it with that, plus the little bit of cap space they have now, gives them about $5.5 million to play with. That should be enough to bring in somebody on that top line if they can pull it off. If they can't, they're happy to sit tight. Detroit is looking to add at both ends of the ice. They're looking for a right shot defenseman, and they're also looking for a top six forward, preferably at the center position. This is another team that's kicked around, Nick, on Elias Pettersson. And I think there are a few others, Carolina, Seattle, and I would imagine a couple others as well. But Detroit is looking. They've got the assets that they're seems to be willing to move. You don't get much out of Detroit. They run a tight ship. But talking to people around the league, they've got some pieces, some young pieces they're willing to kind of package up. And if they can address both the forward position, bring in another offensive top six forward, again, preferably at the center position, or a right and a right shot defenseman. I think those are two boxes that they'd like to check off.
The Canadians are interesting right now, Dave, because, I mean, you just mentioned Line A, and they all of a sudden are getting healthy. Newhook is going to play tonight. Zach Holduk's a healthy scratch. So they seem to have like one or two more extra forwards at the moment, but bringing in somebody, I think, to play on that top line makes a lot of sense. I want to stick in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Jake brings up Carolina. We've seen the Hurricanes be aggressive at the deadline over the past couple of years, and Gensel and Mikko Rantanen and not able to retain those guys. I think they need something down the middle of the ice. Is Trocheck a potential fit for them? I mean, I know he played there before, but do you feel like Carolina is going to be aggressive again at the deadline?
They're not afraid to take swings, like you said, and if the opportunity, if it's lobbed up for them, Eric Tulsi is going to swing it. And Trocheck is a guy that's on their radar as well. Trocheck's, I mean, there's a ton of teams that would love to get their hands on this guy. Sweetheart of a cap hit for what he's capable of doing at $5.625 million. His style works, and he's got three more years left on his contract. With the cap going up, it makes it that much more appealing. The Rangers are trying to hit a home run here in terms of a return. If they can move out Trocheck, that's what they'd like to do, bring in a big haul to get him. And, you know, Carolina, that fits. There's familiarity there. And he checks a lot of boxes himself for what they're looking for. I think a Braden Schenn is also somebody they've checked in the past. They're going to continue to look to see what options are available to them. I wouldn't be shocked if they take a swing or two. I think they'd also like to bring in a depth defenseman before the deadline, somebody to kind of just stabilize that back end if they need it come playoff time. But that, along with a top six forward, a guy at the center position for that second line, and if they go fishing for something even bigger, we know Jesperi Kotkaniemi is available, and they've been trying to dangle him for the last little bit as well, perhaps to make some money work in terms of, even though they have a ton of cap space, get a little bit of money out for a guy that if they do replace him in the lineup, you know, his usage would certainly diminish. So why pay him that much? But we'll see kind of what happens here between now and the deadline for Carolina, because what they'd like to do has to fit with what Rod Brind'Amour's structure is and style is on the ice. So there's a bit of a marriage that has to happen there, but it's up to Tulsi to take those swings.
What about Nashville? Obviously, curious circumstances now with Barry Trotz not in the mix, the GM anymore. Do they punt this till the offseason, or is Jonathan Marchessault a guy who could move between now and next Friday?
Yeah, Trotz is still working the deadline. He's still going to be working the phones and trying to make some roster adjustments for his team as they look for a new GM. But yes, Marchessault's name has picked up in the last week or so, more so than Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly. I think those guys, barring an offer that they just can't refuse, the Preds, then I think those guys are likely staying. Marchessault is a good candidate to be moved out there. He's got a solid cap hit. Change of scenery could do him justice. But at the same time, it has to be a legit cup contender. He's got to sign off on it with that full no move. So it's going to come down to what options are most available to him that he feels most comfortable with. He may turn around after looking at everything, if something is presented, and say, I'm good with where I'm at. Which may shift the focus more so to some of their pending unrestricted free agents. Michael McCarron, Eric Halla, Michael Bunting. Those are guys that are prime candidates to get moved over this next, you know, 7 to 8 days here going into the deadline.
Dave, what about the goalie market? I feel like if you look around the league, all the big names, the top names, the real needle-moving goalies are locked up to long-term contracts at big money, so it's difficult to make those kind of moves at the deadline, as you know. But there might be some other intriguing pieces out there. I think there's a couple teams, maybe a Carolina. I mean, obviously, Edmonton's already made a goaltending move. How do you see that market playing out, and is there any names in particular we should keep an eye on here over the next week?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that vast of a and broad of a goalie carousel type of market leading up to the deadline. We may see some guys get moved, some backup guys get moved, you know, just to give some teams some security going into the playoffs. Now, you mentioned Carolina. The one thing I have wondered about the Canes is the goaltending. Freddie Anderson's a free agent at the end of the year. Yes, they signed Bossy to a three-year extension, and they have Kochetkov locked in for next year. But I just wonder about Jordan Binnington. If they're going to take a big swing, is he the guy in net, excuse me, is he the guy that they kind of zero in on and try to focus on? We all know what he's capable of doing in pressure cooker situations. Won a Stanley Cup in 19 with the Blues, helped Canada to gold or top prize, whatever it was, in Four Nations, and came so close in the Olympics as well. And he was lights out throughout all of those. And those types of moments, those you know, teams really focus on that, and that pays dividends, certainly. And I think Carolina, one of their crutches, I believe, over the last few years come playoff time has been the overall goaltending for them. If they can bring in a guy like Binnington, it wouldn't shock me. But outside of that, I don't know if we have another team that's willing to make that move. I don't know if Edmonton wants to do something again in that respect. I think they're more geared towards bringing in a defenseman and perhaps somebody in the mid to bottom six up front that's defensively responsible. So we may see more goalie movement in the summer. And I know there's been a little bit of chatter surrounding Sergei Bobrovsky. I'd be a tiny bit surprised if that were to happen. I think they'd like to keep that marriage going beyond this season. And obviously the Panthers want to see how they go over the next few games as well.
Dave, the Buffalo Sabres have been the biggest surprise in the NHL over the past 2+ months, carried it over after the Olympic break with a victory at New Jersey. How does this team approach the trade deadline, and what are they going to do with Alex Tuch? Is there any update there? Because he's a UFA after the year. He's one of their core players. He's the guy they got for Jack Eichel. You don't want to lose a guy like that for nothing.
You don't, but with the way that this team has played over the years, just getting back into the playoffs for the first time since 2010-11 could really mean a lot for that team, for that franchise, and for its fan base. And man, those fans deserve it. So I think, first of all, it's been status quo. Leading into yesterday, it was kind of status quo with respect to the contract situation and the conversations between Tuck's camp and the Sabres. They have to evaluate here. Does it make more sense to move him to recoup assets, or do we utilize him as our own rental, so to speak, try to go on a bit of a run, try to convince him to stay afterwards? I think they might be leaning to the latter, where they hold on to him as their own rental just because of the importance of making the playoffs. And yeah, they had a great run. Could they build off that after Olympics? Well, like you said, first start, pretty good, pulling out a W against the Devils. So we'll see where that goes. I'd be a little bit surprised. I could see them adding a couple of pieces, more depth pieces, perhaps a third or fourth line center to add to that mix just to deepen the roster a little bit more. I don't know if they want to tinker with it too much in terms of additions, and I don't think they want to cough up too much as well, just because this season has been, you know, going in the right direction. They're an interesting club. They still have time with respect to Tuck leading into the deadline, but, you know, teams are curious. If somebody overpays, maybe that changes that narrative. If not, you know, might as well use him as your own rental, get into the playoffs, and give those fans a bit of a gift they've been waiting for a long time.
Dave, I'm going to be locked to DFO Rundown Insider Edition for the next 8 days. Appreciate your time today, man.
You got it, boys. See ya.
There you have it. Dave Pagnotta from Daily Faceoff, NHL Network, NHL Network Radio, the fourth period, the man of many titles. Time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, we'll look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
Pete, we're back in action. A busy slate on this Thursday. Who are you rocking in your NHL Fantasy Stars lineup?
So I've been trying to use the Olympic break to my advantage, and in doing so, been training Matthew Schaefer almost every day. He's up to over 12 fantasy points per game for me. I'm rolling him out as an Olympic snub against the Montreal Canadiens in the first game back for the Islanders after the break. I also used the coins I accumulated over the break to purchase Matt Boldy, you know, scored the first goal in the Olympic gold medal game, and I'm rolling him out against the Colorado Avalanche on Thursday for the Wild.
Training is the way to go. You can go to the market and buy Will Smith of the San Jose Sharks for super cheap. He's playing alongside Macklin Celebrini, 10 points in 9 games since his return to the lineup. Mason Marchment up on that top line for the Blue Jackets, only $300 to buy as well. So have some fun, buy some players, train them up, watch those fantasy points pile up, check out our must play Under the Radar and a team to watch in our NHL Fantasy Stars article over at nhl.com/fantasy.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts. When your team goes up 3 goals, bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. An official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Jake, I was chuckling beyond belief on Wednesday. The late cover by Matthew Nyes, 1 goal and 1 assist, owns the Tampa Bay Lightning. I love that, man.
That's right. You got that right at the end of the game. Obviously, Tampa was pretty much in control at that point. And a weird goal on Vasilevsky as well. So you got to have another anytime goal in the hopper for us, right? Ride the heater into Thursday night.
I do. His name is Connor Bedard. So it's Chicago at Nashville. I'm going to play the Bedard ATG. I also got a Cole Caulfield ATG. I know Means is going to love that. But those are my two big plays. I think Florida walks over Toronto. I think the Leafs are finished. And the one game, Jake, I'm really looking forward to tonight is Columbus and Boston. You talk about this post-Olympic heater. Can it continue? We wondered that about Buffalo. Took care of business last night. I expect the same here from Columbus. Give me the Jackets on the road in Boston, Jake.
I was leaning Columbus there as well. Like I said, I'm not too worried about the two-week break. I think they're excited to get back at it, and it's pretty good price against Boston. Boston's a team, they've had a great season so far. Can they keep it going? I have some questions if they can hang on to their spot here down the stretch. Meaning Minnesota and Colorado, obviously a great game when these two teams meet. Now, we have Colorado playing second half of a back-to-back. Maybe an opportunity for Minnesota to get one here against the division rival. A game, if they can win in regulation, who knows? Maybe it goes a long way to trying to track them down. I know it's a bit of a long shot right now, so a little bit of a lean towards Minnesota in that one. And I'm going to ride Macklin Celebrini, the San Jose Sharks, back in action, hosting the Calgary Flames. I think this is a team to watch here down the stretch, guys. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to make it very interesting and stay in this conversation. I like the Sharks tonight against the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, it's a great spot for them. I got Will Smith as a goal scorer, and I think Macklin Celebrini plus money for 2 points is something you just need to have on your card, or at least consider it every time he plays. It's like McDavid as well. McDavid and Kucherov, you just kind of blindly take those guys for 2 points, even on a back-to-back with Tampa Bay plus money against Carolina. Wouldn't be shocked. Braden Point returned last night, looked phenomenal. He's minus 125 at Bet365 to hit the score sheet, so a good spot for him. I like the Cole Caulfield shout, of course, Nick. I like the Canadians at home against the Islanders. Sam Reinhart, I'm with you on the Panthers at home against the Leafs. Allowed the most shots, really struggling at 5-5, and I got four plus money shot props. Nylander, he's four straight since he's been back, and he's been great and hitting the score sheet. Jonathan Marchessault, who we talked about, he's minus 110 for a point, plus 120 for three shots. Slafkovský as well, coming off the hot Olympic showing. And Lucas Raymond, not really known as a shooter, guys, more of a playmaker. He's plus money for three shots, and he's had at least three, Nick, in five of his past seven games.
I love it. I'm going to turn things over now to Petey Props. What do you got, buddy? What do you got?
I'm carrying over the momentum from Dalibor Dvorsky, plus 325 anytime goal against the Seattle Kraken, who are on the second of a back-to-back. I see the Blues giving him an expanded role like he deserves as they try to create some momentum for themselves. And I'll go back to the waiver wire list from the past two shows. Kiefer Sherwood, top line with Will Smith and Celebrini, plus 250 anytime goal. He's got 17 goals this season playing for one of the worst teams in the league in the Canucks. I expect that immediate impact for him after the break, well-rested, hitting people left and right and scoring some goals for the Sharks.
I love it. I love Meany getting soggy with it as well. I might throw all of Meany's sog bets all together in a parlay and have some fun on Thursday night. And Nick, who makes a save first in the Edmonton-LA game tonight? I think that's really what I want to see. We know these teams have a long history together. It's hard not to take the Oilers in these types of matchups. I think the play is probably just to take the over, maybe play some point props in that game, because based on what I saw Wednesday, it seems like these teams are struggling defensively, struggling to keep the puck out of the net.
Man, they showed an ISO shot after McDavid took that trip late in regulation on Wednesday. It looked like his head was going to explode. I think it's been a very difficult last couple of days for Connor McDavid. We'll leave it at that. Guys, the longest fantasy week ever, week 18. We can finally tie a bow on this puppy. And Jay, coming up on Monday, week 19, waiver wire edition. Can't wait for it.
I'm excited for just a normal week, right? It's nice to get NHL back, but like you said, everything's all chopped up. I'm excited just to kind of reset, look at a normal schedule, and obviously the push to the fantasy playoffs, guys. It's a very important time of the year. Push to the real NHL playoffs, the trade deadline. It was great to talk to Dave and pick his brain. Obviously, he's so dialed in with all that sort of stuff. So Olympics are behind us officially, and now we get into a really exciting time in the NHL season.
Onwards we go. Again, as you mentioned, thank you to Dave Pagnotta for dropping by. Thank you to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.